Friday with Wolf and Luke. Presented by 72 Soul. 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
Hour number two of the show on this extremely eventful Friday morning. In case you are just missing it, the Arizona Cardinals decided, yeah, we really do need to replace Max Williams. And so they went out and they got a guy, and it's not like a guy that maybe you've heard of, or a guy that was like a second string tight end on the, you know, a team at the bottom of the standings. No, they went out and got Zach Ertz this morning.
Zach Ertz.
Have you heard of him?
He seems to be pretty good. I have, as a matter of fact, man. Zach Ertz, three-time Pro Bowl tight end. Zach Ertz.
6,267 receiving yards in the NFL. 38 touchdowns.
Incredible.
As a
it really
tight
is
end.
Right now. I mean, this is a guy that is going to show up. This is a guy that's immediately going to be an offensive force when the Arizona Cardinals put him onto the field. It's not going to be this weekend, by the way, because he just played on Thursday night. That means he's done for week number six.
You know why? It's because you can't have if you had Zach Ertz in fantasy football, you'd get double points.
Exactly,
so
right.
Fantasy football saving the league again.
Can't have, once again, there it is. Fantasy football rearing its ugly head, not saving the league, destroying the league. But
something like
we
that.
Digress, do we not? Zach Ertz, the only question I have is what kind of balance might he bring to the Arizona Cardinals? Because right now, Zach Ertz is known as being a great talent, a great receiving tight end, a guy that has done a great job scoring touchdowns. In particular, I would say moving the chains as well, moving the sticks, doing it in the red zone, playing very, very well, catching passes in third down situations that move sticks, a clutch player. That's what he's known for, but it's really the offensive part of it. It's not the dirty part of it, the get down in a three-point stance and come off the ball and remove somebody at the point of attack. I don't even know if he's an average blocker. He's okay. He's willing, that much I do know. He's willing to block, and will he bring that kind of balance? I don't know. I don't know what the answers are to that. Does he have to bring that kind of balance? Because it might be a situation where this is going to be a full-on throw-the-ball aerial attack like you've never seen before. I hope it doesn't get to that point, because I don't know if that's the best thing for Kyler Murray. I don't know if that's the best thing for him. For me, I think keeping him in a balanced offense where you can run the ball and throw the ball, it mitigates the pass rush against Kyler Murray. And we've already seen him get knocked around a little bit. And what happens when he gets knocked around? Suddenly shows up on the injury report.
And then we all just we stop enjoying the football season compared to how we were enjoying it earlier. I think it would be I'm not as worried as you are that they're going to just abandon the run, because the run has been so effective the way they've used it this season.
Yes. Zach Ertz, see, that's why I'm afraid that happens.
But and I understand why you are, and if they do go away from it, I think that would be a mistake. I just think because they have seen James Conner, every time you get inside the red zone, get you in the end zone, and you've seen him do it five times now already in the last 3 weeks, I think because they have seen it, and it's not like a hypothetical, like, well, we think Chase Edmonds is good, or we think James Conner is a guy that can just pound the ball in from 3 yards out or 1 yard out, because they've actually seen it, I think they'll be less inclined to abandon it. But you've got a passing attack right now where I don't know how you cover this if you're an opposing defense. I
no,
really
you're right
don't.
About that, honestly, right now. It is. What a nightmare. What a veritable nightmare it is for any defensive coordinator who's going to try to slow this down. The only way you can do it is Kyler Murray. Knocking Kyler Murray down. Getting pressure on Kyler Murray. I mean, that's the only way you can do it, because you're going to play coverage now. If you know, play all the coverage you want, somebody's going to be open at some point in time. Whether you're playing man or zone, somebody's going to be open.
What did Carlos Dansby say when we had him on earlier this week? That was before they had Zach Ertz. I don't remember if he called him a handful or a headache, the Cardinals offense or something like that.
Both, yeah. I think he called him.
Because he was like, what are you going to do? You're going to double DeAndre Hopkins and let A.J. Green run free?
That's exactly right.
You're going to put extra focus on A.J. Green, then DeAndre Hopkins is open, or Rondale Moore is just running completely free, or Christian Kirk, and now you have to deal with Zach Ertz, which as much as I like Max Williams, and he may have been a more rounded, well-rounded tight end for this offense.
Yes.
If you're trying to defend the Cardinals, doesn't Zach Ertz strike more fear into you than Max Williams did at least the first couple weeks?
Yes. Yeah. Yes, there's no doubt that's the case, Luke. But okay, listen, the balance, that question is so important. It's important to me because I think it protects Kyler Murray. Hey, listen, you take Kyler Murray out of the equation, you know, a lot of this stuff can get dicey at that point in time. I'm a big Colt McCoy fan, no doubt about it, but there's a lot of stuff. You're not so sure the Arizona Cardinals are going to continue to roll through the NFL if Kyler Murray goes down. That's why I want to keep him in a balanced offense, schematically balanced, thematically balanced. I want him to be in that kind of offense. Listen, you've got the Zach Allen cut. You've got the Zach Allen cut right here.
You've got a lot of Zach cuts. I've got Ertz and Allen, yes. You want the one about Baker Mayfield?
Yes, I do. Listen to what Zach says.
This is from Zach Allen from Big Red Rage with you last night.
Anytime you can put the quarterback under center, I mean, there's always a level of uncertainty. I think when a quarterback's in shotgun, the ball, you know, if they're going to run the ball, it can only really go one way. It can really only go, you know, opposite of the running back. So I think defenses now have become smarter and they start to play for that. I mean, there's only so much same side running out of shotgun that you can do. But when your quarterback's under center, I mean, it's a lot of teams. I mean, if you look at like a tendency chart, it's pretty much 50-50, you know, left, right, or, you know, wherever it's going to go. So it definitely is an effective tool. And I think that was the biggest adjustment for me and coming from college, because in college everything's from shotgun because everybody wants to either air it out or run the read option. But in the NFL, I mean, it's a completely different run game. So I think for young D linemen, it definitely takes, you know, a couple of years to truly understand it.
Did you just hear that right there from Zach Allen, a defensive lineman?
Yeah.
What he just said, that it does not only to him, but to defenses when you put a guy at quarterback under center.
And he wasn't even talking about the Cardinals. He was talking about defending a team with, like, Baker Mayfield. He was talking about Baker Mayfield in that situation.
That's exactly who he was talking about right there. And once again, when you put – this is one of the reasons why I want to see the Arizona Cardinals continue to grow this element of their offense. And when you've got a tight end in particular, to be able to put Kyler Murray under center, and all of a sudden, here we come. We're going to run the tackle zone. We're going to run it right behind Zach Ertz. We're going to run it right at Zach Ertz, the tackle zone. Can he hold up at the point of attack? Because I know the bootleg is coming off of that. I know the waggle, that being a bootleg to the weak side of the formation, that's coming right off of that. I also know you can run the tackle zone and then boom, seven-step drop right in the middle of the pocket. Some of the best play action you'll ever see on a football field. That benefits, in my opinion, Kyler Murray. Can you do it with Zach Ertz? Can you run all of this with Zach Ertz as a tight end? By reputation right now, yes, is the answer. But I just want to see it, because Max Williams was balance. He brought balance to the Arizona Cardinals because he was such a good blocker. We'll see.
We won't see this weekend, obviously, because Ertz can't play, but we'll start to see next weekend when they play the Houston Texans. I don't know, how much can you take out of a game against the Texans?
That's such a good safety point. You can't say that enough. You really can't.
Yeah.
Zach Ertz is not going to be playing this weekend against the Cleveland Browns. He cannot do it by NFL rule.
I wonder if he'll be just at the game watching, like in college when you have your recruits there, to be like, this is the team you're going to play for next season. They'll have Zach Ertz there, like, this is the team you'll be playing for against Houston next week. Coming up, Kyler Murray and Baker Mayfield have a history, so just how competitive will those two be on Sunday? It's the Wolf and Luke Show on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Football Friday with Wolf and Luke. Presented by 72 Sold, 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
There's a lot of storylines going into this game, but one that certainly can't be ignored is the you know, former Oklahoma quarterbacks that knew each other, that were there together at the same time, that both won Heisman trophies, that went number one in the NFL draft, that are squaring off this weekend. Is that enough parallels there between Baker Mayfield and Kyler Murray on Sunday?
Hey, Baker, Kyler, what are you going to do about it?
I tell you, they're both going into this game in very different directions, perceptually at least. Kyler's being talked about as the MVP frontrunner, or if he's not the frontrunner, he's second. They're complaining about Baker Mayfield in Cleveland, which you and I talked about this earlier in the week. I don't fully understand. When did the Cleveland Browns get to a point where 11-5 winning a playoff game and almost taking out the Chiefs doesn't clear their bar?
Doom.
They won zero games a couple years ago.
Yeah, 11-5, man. Think about it. Baker Mayfield led this team. He's a winner is what he is. He's been a winner throughout his career, and that's the thing that, boy, so many general managers, too, when he was coming out of Oklahoma, they said, you know what, he's got a certain something about him. A je ne sais quoi, as the French like to say.
You're going to say, as they say in Oklahoma.
Right? I'm just saying, though, right? He had something, a certain swag about him that general managers loved. It's the reason why he was taken number one overall.
Yeah, and I mean, now you look back at that draft, revisionist history will say, okay, well, you should have taken Josh Allen because he might be the best quarterback in the league, or you should have taken Lamar Jackson. But at the time, if you go back to that draft, wasn't the conversation really Lamar could be good, but nobody's going to risk the number one pick on him? It was really a four quarterback decision.
Yeah,
maybe Josh Rosen was the fourth, but even he was in the conversation with Josh Allen and Sam Darnold and Baker Mayfield. And I would say Cleveland didn't mess that pick up. They didn't get the right guy, but they didn't mess it up either. They're winning games.
No, they're winning games. And that's exactly what I think Baker Mayfield is. He's a guy that is a winning quarterback, a guy that will make plays that will win games, especially if you surround him with some of the things, some of the elements that the Cleveland Browns have. Like a tough defense with a tough defensive box and a very strong offensive line and a rushing attack. Now, listen, I realize you could say, yeah, well, if we got to do that for every team out there, yeah, and I understand. But Baker Mayfield and what he did last year, especially go back and look at the postseason, it wasn't just the 11-5. They won a playoff game.
They almost beat the Chiefs.
And they almost beat the Chiefs in Kansas City.
Back when the Chiefs were good.
Yes.
This is, with the two of them matching up, you figure, okay, there might be a little more on the line, a little extra competition just between the two of them. Not that they're ever going up against each other, but hey, if Baker marches the Browns down the field, maybe Kyler wants a little bit more to march the Cardinals down the field. Now, Kyler's approaching this, at least outwardly, as you might expect from him.
I mean, there's no stakes. It's regular season game. We you know, our mission is to go win, so is theirs. It is what it is. This isn't bigger than, you know, we're not about to make it, what, you know, the Super Bowl. So
now this is Baker Mayfield talking about Kyler Murray and his personality on the field.
With him, there's always something, you know, there's always a little bit of trash talk. We see each other quite often in the off season, and you know, like I said, he might show it differently, but behind closed doors he is quite the trash talker. So don't let him fool you.
Is it radio silence between you guys this week, though?
No, we'll definitely catch up. I'm sure I'll hear it later in this week. He's probably working today, and he'll catch me up later in the week.
He's probably working today.
Yeah.
He's off doing his job.
I'm thinking to myself, at what point do they cross paths electronically, right, on some video game? Right, some device. At what point do they go ahead and, I don't know, show up in Call of Duty?
They'll show up in one of those Heisman House commercials together again like they just did.
At some point in time, that's coming.
There's more from Baker Mayfield talking about their time together back at Oklahoma.
You know, it's pretty fun to have him in the same quarterback room. That's obviously a tremendous player. And for him to, you know, be patient while I took the extra year and did my senior lap year, and I don't know, it was just fun. We had a great room, great team, and yeah, there was a high expectation for us.
That's a funny dynamic. Hey, Kyler, I know you came here to be the starter and win the Heisman, but I'm actually going to hang around for one more year and win the Heisman myself.
Yeah.
You're going to have to wait, and then next year you will win the Heisman. Like, that's ridiculous.
That it's so unbelievable.
How did Oklahoma
that happened?
Not win the national championship four times?
That is truly incredible right there. And they are buds, man. There's no doubt about it. And yet, Kyler Murray, I think right now, the reason why people are hating on Baker Mayfield to some degree is because of the Kyler Murray comparison. Because of the fact they were both drafted number one overall.
Yeah.
Because of the fact they both won the Heisman. Because of the fact they're both at Oklahoma.
When you are that number one pick, we've seen it with the Suns, right? And I'm not going to absolve DeAndre Ayton for, you know, for all the kind of off nights he had earlier in his career, but he was never bad. He always had those really good games too, even before these playoffs, and yet, you know, if you compared him to the guy drafted right behind him, Marvin Bagley, Ayton, great pick. If you are intent on only comparing him to Luka, all right, well, you're not going to be able to compare anybody to Luka. There's not a lot of quarterbacks you could look at that were drafted in the last 5 years and compare them to Kyler Murray and be like, oh, this guy's definitely better than Kyler. That's a tough spot to be in right now.
No, you're right about that. And it was interesting because we were talking to Zach Allen last night. We were talking to him about Baker Mayfield. Last night, Zach Allen had some very interesting things to say about Baker Mayfield.
I only have one clip right here. Let's see if this is it, okay?
He's definitely a dual threat. I think, you know, some people, if you watch the tape, I don't think people really give him enough due, but he definitely is a good athlete. He definitely, you know, has a very strong arm, and, you know, he really kind of gets that whole offense going. You can tell that they rally behind him. You know, obviously Heisman winner, he has this just confidence, and whoever plays with him, you know, definitely, you know, they kind of feed off of that too. I remember even just watching him in college and the NFL, I mean, he's like you definitely want him on your team. Like, he's like the perfect teammate, but like for like an opponent, like they just hate it. They're just like, oh, you know, because it's just the way he rallies the troops.
See, there it is right there. Talking about a lot of the intangibles right now. And I will tell you, because I do know general managers, plural, in the National Football League that I have talked to about Baker Mayfield, and they loved the intangibles that this guy brought to the field. It was what we were talking about, the swag that he had. And even Zach Allen sees that and recognizes that.
Yeah.
And the importance of that. It's one of the reasons why I don't get the hate, again, on Baker Mayfield. The guy wins.
They had, I think it was Daryl Reuter on this morning. The Cleveland broadcaster, they had him on Bickley and Murata, and he was talking about, because they asked him, like, what is the feeling about Baker Mayfield in Cleveland? And he said, yeah, about 70% love him, and 30% just, they're out on him. And he's like, those 30%, I'm paraphrasing, but he was essentially like, those 30% need to wake up, because I've been watching this team for 20 years, and a lot of them have been pretty bad.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
And it, maybe you can't measure it in stats, what Baker Mayfield has done, other than the simple stat of, again, 11-5, won a playoff game, almost won a second playoff game, and that Zach Allen cut really kind of summarizes it. His team rallies behind him.
Yes.
That happened in college, too, with Baker Mayfield. There were a lot of opponents that hated him because he was taunting them on the field or he was doing stuff before the game, but his teammates loved him.
Especially, too, I'm thinking, what quarterbacks have the Cleveland Browns fans had?
Yeah, who are you measuring him against?
Well, okay, Bernie Kosar. I played with Bernie Kosar.
I don't think that's...
All the way back in 1992.
Yeah. Oh, he's no Derek Anderson or Tim Couch.
And 93, when Bill Belichick cut Bernie Kosar.
That's got to be
goodness,
awkward.
That story right there.
Maybe they've just never recovered from that.
We have no time for it.
At some point, we always have time for that.
At some point, no, we don't. At some point, though. Maybe I should tell that story.
That might be a good story for today, going into a game against the Browns.
Exactly.
What better
right.
time?
How about the 1 o'clock hour?
I'm just going to write the story right here.
The day Bernie got cut. The day the Czar of Cleveland, that's what we called him, Kosar, the Czar of Cleveland,
got cut. I'm sure Bill Belichick was real emotional about it.
That's the night the lights went out in Georgia. Let's put it that way.
All right. Well, now I want to hear this later in the show. Text us your thoughts on this weekend's matchup to the FanDuel text line at 620-620 right now. When we come back, Cardinals sideline reporter Paul Calvisi will join the show. We'll get his reaction to Arizona trading for Zach Ertz this morning and what the Cardinals need to do on Sunday to beat Cleveland. It's the Wolf and Luke Show on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
And we'll talk salad.
Friday with Wolf and Luke. Presented by 72 Soul. 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
Welcome back here on this Friday morning. In case you're just jumping in the car, maybe going to get some lunch. Cardinals did trade for Zach Ertz this morning. They gave up a fifth rounder and Tay Gowan. So nothing against Tay Gowan or whoever that fifth rounder ends up being. But I will take that trade any day of the week, Wolf. And I'm guessing our next guest will as well. We're going to talk to him right now. Paul Calvisi, Cardinals sideline reporter and more, joining us on the Arizona Sports Line right now. Paulie, how you doing?
Good, guys. I just had to talk to Colt McCoy, former Cleveland Browns quarterback, to make a restaurant reservation for tomorrow night because Wolf, despite the fact he was a former Cleveland Brown and he used to own a restaurant, has been totally unreliable when it comes to the restaurant reservation. So I just outsourced it, Luke.
Okay,
I got
Paulie.
It done, and now we're ready to roll on the weekend.
You know, I'm so glad, Paulie. Wherever we go, you're going to get a salad. That much I understand, Paulie. But did he actually say Johnny's? Did he mention Johnny's?
I mentioned Johnny's. He approved. He gave me two other ones also that would be in his top three of power rankings. So I'm going to choose accordingly, Wolf, and you're going to like it.
You're going to get jacked, Paul. All right? I'm going to Johnny's. I'm just telling you right now. All right? You can go wherever you want to go, Paulie. I'm going to Johnny's.
That's cool. I'm going to buy Dave Pasch's hoity-toity bottle of wine, and Dave will join me. So that's how that'll work.
He's taking that shot at poor Dave. He's not even here to defend himself. He's probably calling nine different games at the same time right now. All right, Paulie, let's ask you. I got to ask you about Zach Ertz and the move to get him. Was there a sense all week that they were going to make some sort of move at tight end? And then secondly, what do you think about the addition of Ertz specifically?
You know, you got the feeling, honestly, there was a vibe that the loss of Max Williams was big. We saw the toll it took on the Cardinals' offense. Now, whether that was schematically the X's and O's and how they bogged down after Max left that field, whether it was an emotional toll, just that injury, and I've never seen in my nearly two decades on the sideline every single player leave the sideline and go across the field and pay their respects to Max Williams before they carted him off. And to me, it says two things, Luke. It says, one, just the importance of Max Williams to that offense and how he was keeping defenses honest underneath, down the seam, while A.J. Green and DeAndre Hopkins work the perimeter and the outside, and then you're able to get Rondale Moore and Christian Kirk. I mean, the Cardinals' offense so far this year has truly been stretching the field, and when Max Williams wasn't out there, that wasn't happening. I think there was a cause and effect to them not going for 30-plus and not having 400-plus yards, and that had something to do with Max Williams. I think they realized that. I also like what it says to the locker room. You know, Cliff Kingsbury cited that today. James Conner cited that today. It says, you know what, guys, we really are all in. When there's a need, we're going to do everything we can to fill it. It says, you know what, we're gearing up for January football. And so I think it says a couple of different things. And when you can get them, I agree with you, for a low-round pick and Tay Gowan, who is, I think, very raw. He's talented. He has the size. He has the measurables, but very raw and more of a project corner. That doesn't fit the Cardinals' MO right now. They're in win-now mode, and this trade proves it.
The king of all media, Paul Calvisi, joining us here on the Wolf and Luke show. Paulie, talk to me about Kyler versus Baker. There's a lot of this going on right now, right? All the competitiveness of these two guys, and you're talking about two former number ones from Oklahoma, of course, the number one pick overall, Heisman Trophy winners. Talk about that dynamic to this game, and do you see it coming into play at all?
Absolutely. If Baker Mayfield isn't fired up, then something's wrong. Whether it's Kyler, whether it's his former Texas Tech head coach Cliff Kingsbury, he is in that 99th percentile of competitive dudes, Baker Mayfield. So I expect him to be fired up. What's interesting is I tweeted out what I thought was an innocuous quote, direct quote from Robert Alford to start the week about how Baker had shown progress every year and he's tracking to be a true franchise quarterback. And it totally divided the Browns fan base. You just realize how polarizing Baker Mayfield is right now to that Browns fan base. Half of them are on board. Yeah, give him the big money. Give him the Josh Allen contract. Let's go. And half of them are absolutely not. He's not the guy. He had a really poor game 2 games ago against Minnesota. Whether that has to do with the torn labrum and his non-throwing shoulder, I don't know. But his accuracy was off. He bounced back, obviously, against the Chargers. But, yeah, when you look at Baker and Kyler, and you always forget, at least I do, that Kyler spent 2 years backing up Baker, that Baker came back for that extra year. And so those guys spent a long time competing against each other and Lincoln Riley's practices. And the fact that Kyler got him in 2019, and then it was on camera and they were mic'd up, and he said, you know what, I got bragging rights, give me your jersey in this swap. You can't tell me Baker doesn't remember that.
Paulie, we get the news today that Nick Chubb's not going to be playing on Sunday. I haven't heard like a definitive update on Kareem Hunt, who is also questionable. But, I mean, just simply not having Nick Chubb on the Cleveland side of things, how, if at all, does that change the Cardinals' approach defensively?
It's obviously a big help for the Arizona Cardinals, who might be without Jordan Hicks. We'll see. Yeah, Zaven Collins might have to play the entirety of the game at Mike linebacker. We'll find out. Hopefully the Cardinals don't find out the hard way that Zaven Collins, a rookie, isn't equipped for that. But just the respect Nick Chubb gets when you talk to players. Drew Stanton, who was just recently with the Cleveland Browns in the offseason in August, we did some of those preseason games. He cited Nick Chubb as one of the top three running backs in the game. Just the immense respect he has for him, his ability to break tackles and house those long chunk runs. And so that's huge. And then you look at, I mean, Luke, you guys have seen this injury report. They might be without their two starting offensive tackles, two of their top three corners. I know, to talking to guys this week, that was why Justin Herbert put 26 points on the board in the fourth quarter, is because the Browns are playing their fourth, fifth string corners. They're playing safeties at corner. It was a dire situation. So if they're without those corners again, that is advantage Arizona Cardinals. There's no doubt about that. But yeah, Nick Chubb out. And then the other thing, guys, Kyler Murray. What exactly is the state of his throwing arm and or his throwing shoulder? You know, Cliff Kingsbury asked today if he's full strength, or is he going to have to make tweaks to the Cardinals' game plan to account for Kyler Murray in the arm? And Cliff didn't answer it, just said, you're going to have to see. So could this possibly be a situation to some degree that we saw a year ago when Kyler was dealing with a nagging injury to his throwing arm?
And Paul, give me a green leafy salad Calvisi joining us here on the Wolf and Luke show. Paulie.
Well, if there's no homemade gnocchi this year at Johnny's, you're going to pay. I mean, literally, you're going to pay.
Paulie, I'm cracking myself up here, Paul, and you know how I get when I'm cracking myself up.
This is premeditated, Paulie. He said this was coming.
Let me just say right now, the impact of J.J. Watt, right? There's a lot of people that, where are the sacks? Where are the tackles? There's a lot of people that are looking at numbers here. How do you think J.J. Watt has impacted this team? You have that belt-high perspective on this sideline.
Okay. Look, I'm going to dismiss that and get right to the question, because that question was posed to J.J. Watt this week, and his answer was, if you're disrupting the play, you're doing your job. There's only so much a defensive lineman can do, guys, right? If teams are getting rid of the ball ultra quick, like Kirk Cousins did. I mean, he got rid of the ball so quick. And you can't tell me that wasn't because of 99 and 55, obviously. Now, this last game, J.J. Watt did get into the box score, and there were numbers to show about his production and his play. And honestly, you look at Mike McGlinchey, horrendous game. He had three holding calls. He gave up four pressures. A lot of that was because of J.J. Watt. So, you know, we talked to Zach Allen, you know, Wolf, last night. I'm not sure if you're even paying attention, because off the top of the show, I told you that the Zach Ertz trade was going to happen. I told you it was going to happen, and you probably weren't even listening or paying attention.
You did actually say that. I said, no way. There's no way that's happening.
But, yeah, you listen to Zach Allen, he'll tell you about J.J. Watt. And you know what? Ever since J.J. Watt was in a bad mood about 3 weeks ago, he's been even better. So J.J. Watt in a bad mood equals good things for the Cardinals' defensive front.
Paul Calvisi, great stuff as always, man. Enjoy Cleveland, all right?
Luke, are you going? Can we go to dinner? Please,
yeah,
Luke.
Paulie, get ready for Johnny's, all right? I'm just telling you, Paulie, get ready for Johnny's.
We're going last for time Johnny. We were there, that the guy's aunt had actually made the homemade gnocchi in her own kitchen at home, and then they trucked it over for dinner. So we got to make sure she's making the gnocchi again.
Okay, Paulie.
I know you're going to Johnny's, Paulie, because I've been hearing about Johnny's for 3 days. So I don't think you have a choice. Just be ready for that.
Yeah, you'd think as a former Brown, he could throw his weight around, but that never happens.
Yeah. Right, give me a Caesar salad, please, with chicken. Okay, right. Paul, thank you.
So that's Paul Calvisi joining us on the Arizona Sports. I can't just be attacking the guests like that.
Paulie, come on now. He's like my brother. It's unbelievable.
All right. When we come back, is week six tailor-made for J.J. Watt to go off? Wolf thinks so. We'll explain why next. It's the Wolf and Luke Show on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Hey. 3-4! 3-4!
Football Friday with Wolf and Luke. Presented by 72 Soul. 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Wolf, I just ate something during the break I've never had before.
Okay, what was that?
It was like fudge-filled M&M's.
Oh, that sounds awful.
Oh, it was delightful.
What, really?
It's like candy-covered brownies.
I'm not big on brownies.
Well, then,
not big on brownies, man.
You're missing out. And maybe this isn't for you, then.
I mean, chocolate is chocolate for the most part.
Yeah, but fudge is better.
I'm not big on sweets overall.
Right. This conversation is over.
Give me some salt, though.
Well,
let me tell you right now.
This conversation just started back up, then.
Rick, by the way, do you have a bag of Cheetos in there?
I don't have a bag of Cheetos.
Okay.
In here.
Hey, Maloney, you got a bag of Fritos maybe back there? Honestly, you go ahead and you give me something with salt, and I'll kill that thing.
Well, that's you said you like Reese's peanut butter cups.
Well, I do. Okay, right.
Yeah.
But it is a little salty. You see the peanut butter brings
it. See
that?
Okay, it's like
a little salt comes into play.
It's like the gateway candy.
Their peanut butter is like all sugar, though. Like, have you ever just tasted like the peanut butter by itself?
God,
it's just straight
that's
sugar.
Great. They made like peanut butter cup cereal one year, and it was fantastic. I think it was outlawed in the continental U.S.
Yeah. Oh yeah,
because your teeth would just fall right out in the cereal.
There were people that just pouring milk over it constantly, just eating bowls of cereal all day long.
I was one of those people.
Interesting.
And I realized I don't even need the milk. I can just eat the cereal. Before we get into J.J. Watt, I want to bring this up because Paulie brought it up. He said he got reaction from Cleveland fans last segment when he said something nice about Baker Mayfield.
Yeah.
They're so divided on Baker Mayfield. And so, Wolf, I just want to read you the names of – I'm just going to read you some names. You tell me what they have in common, okay?
Okay.
Let's see. Kevin Hogan, DeShone Kizer, Cody Kessler, Josh McCown, Austin Davis, Johnny Manziel, Connor Shaw, Brandon Whedon, Jason Campbell, Thad Lewis, Seneca Wallace. These were the guys that were their quarterbacks that started games before Baker Mayfield.
Exactly.
And that was all in the span of like 6 years, what I just read.
Even
off.
I knew that right there. It's been since Bernie Kosar, since they've had a quarterback in Cleveland. That they absolutely loved, in my opinion.
Okay,
seriously.
Guys,
yes.
Hold on. You guys just went there, and have you guys heard this song?
Tied at my Tim couch, Dougie P, Phillies coach, Tim Couch, back again, then they drafted Spurgeon win. Kelly Holcomb, Luke McCown, Jeff Garcia came to town, Dilbert, Charlie Fry, all of them went bye-bye.
Pretty good.
Quinn, lots of guys who didn't win. Ken Dorsey, Gradkowski, and we're halfway done. Chip DeLong, Colt McCoy, Seneca, unemployed. Thad Lewis, Weed in 5-win seasons. Austin Davis, Josh McCown. Yes, they've had two McCown. Shaw, Hoyer, Campbell. Oh, it's Manziel. Whitehurst, Kessler, RG3 on IR. Currently, as I sing this song, they're gonna find another one.
Okay. Okay. That's enough of Billy Idol right there. Although that's well done right there. It's
so
brutal. Think about it.
What's the problem with Baker Mayfield
what
that he's actually started
problem?
For a straight year?
What's the problem
Forgot
where suddenly you went ahead and actually he won 11 games last year, 11-5, the Cleveland Browns. Won a playoff game where they scored, 48 points in the playoff game?
They hammered
game.
Pittsburgh, too. What more could you ask for if you're a Browns fan? I forgot about that song. That's a great poll, Maloney. That was perfect. That's a fantastic version.
Right, exactly. On a Friday, especially.
How about this? Before
for Billy Joel. Couldn't stand Billy Joel. Sorry, Billy.
Before they drafted Baker Mayfield, they were a combined 1-31 the previous 2 years.
1-31.
They won one game.
That's just
in 2 years.
It's incredible. It really is. I don't understand the Baker Mayfield thing. I just don't get it.
Well, he's only getting us to the second round of the playoffs and taking out the Steelers. We liked it better when we were 1-31 with Spurgeon win.
I realize when you look at him, there are some questions you can bring up, but all he does is win for the most part. That's what I would say. Now that he's developed as a quarterback and is continuing to develop, but you know what? They put him under center as well. They put Baker Mayfield under center and run down situations, and they run the ball. And it's one of the big reasons why I think J.J. Watt is going to go off this week.
So explain that, because I think a lot of people will look at this game and say Chandler Jones is out, so they could give more attention to J.J. Watt if they wanted to. So like on paper, you would say this might be tougher for J.J. Watt.
Yeah, well, first of all, I would say they're not going to do it in the running game. They're going to block whoever is there, whatever technique is there. It's not going to be a situation where they're going to do is run at J.J. Watt so they can get a double team on him. And they're going to move J.J. Watt around. The Cleveland Browns love to run the ball. It's the beating heart of what they do. It's one of the big reasons why not having Nick Chubb this weekend is a big, big deal in this game. Not having him, because he is the beating heart of what they do and what they love to do, especially in rundown situation. First and 10, second and 1-6 is put Baker Mayfield under center and then have Nick Chubb or Kareem Hunt, his toes at 6 or 7. And here he comes. They run downhill towards the line of scrimmage. Guess what kills that? Penetration. Have you seen J.J. Watt starting to make plays and get penetration in the backfield? Yes, you're seeing it, because J.J. Watt is a guesser from time to time. J.J. Watt will guess what it is that you're doing and will also go behind a block as opposed to actually working through his gap. He'll go behind a block and jump around that block and make the play. He's been doing it for years. It's one of the reasons why he's been a 3-time defensive player of the year and headed towards the Hall of Fame, because he's a guesser. It's what he'll do. And that's the reason why I think J.J. Watt goes off in this game. And also, when you've got a guesser like J.J. Watt, guess what? The Browns love play action. They love to use play action. And now all of a sudden you've got an offensive lineman who's getting a little bit too concerned in selling the run, selling the play action. And J.J. Watt guesses. And now all of a sudden you can get penetration against a play action scheme as well. And there you've got a quarterback, Baker Mayfield. Oh, he's running to the mesh point, and he's acting like, oh, I'm going to hand the ball off. And then all of a sudden, no, he's not going to hand it off. It's play action, and it's going to be a 3-step drop right straight back in the pocket after that. Or maybe you're going to roll out, and suddenly you turn around, and there's J.J. Watt because of the penetration. I think this is the game. This is a game that J.J. Watt shows up more than any other game. And he has shown up in other games.
It's been building.
He's made a lot of plays in other games, and it has been building. You're right, Luke. I agree with that. This, I think, is going to be the pinnacle. Does he get his first sack? If I'm gambling, and I'm not a gambling man, trust me on that.
You would be terrible at gambling.
I would be awful. Just the worst in that.
Not even the results. I just don't think you would know how to. Like, you'd go up to, like somebody at a diner in Vegas and be like, can I give you my betting slip? And they'd be like, sir, this is a restaurant.
I would. I would suck buttermilk at it. There's no doubt about it. But I think this is the game that J.J. Watt impacts more than all the other games we've seen him impact so far, and he has impacted games. Isn't that right, Jacksonville Jaguars?
Coming up next, we'll get you caught up on all the top stories of the day. Wolfing Down Your Lunch is coming up. It's the Wolf and Luke Show on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.